Harry Truman once referred to towns like Claremont as places where you forget people live in this country. To someone who drives into the community of just over 100 people in Northeast South Dakota, their first thought is likely, there's not much. Well, maybe not, if much is defined as a convenience store, restaurant, local bar. But at one time, very much was made of Claremont on the football field. Former Honker multi-sport standout Lyle Cutler was there for the beginnings of the Claremont tradition. One day in 1947, Bill Welsh decided Claremont High needed to play football, and Cutler joined the team.
Well, within a week or two, he had a game, and he had to buy some used equipment and stuff. We didn't have shirts, so we had old sweatshirts that we just painted numbers on the first game or two. I think we had five plays or something like that the first game, but I'd never seen a game before, and most of the players hadn't.
Cutler and his teammates learned well in that short period. He graduated from high school nearly 70 years ago, but still remembers those five plays.
Number one was into the line on the right side, number two was the left side, number three was around in, four around the other end, and five was a play come up with called Sioux City Sioux, where I think he watched some college team play it, and where I was an in, and the quarterback would throw me a short pass right over center, and I would lateral it out to Gibbs going around in. That was a good play. We used that a lot.
The name Cutler is a strong part of a complete history of athletics and life in and around Claremont. High school basketball fans know of Frank Cutler, the longtime coach at Platte Geddes. He's part of the family and grew up in Claremont. Frank's uncle Lyle was a great athlete in his day, and not just in football. The 1948 amateur baseball team representing Claremont, which might have been a town of 250 people then, qualified for the state baseball tournament. Only four teams made it to state in those days. The other three that year were Mitchell, Sioux Falls, and Rapid City. After a first-round loss to Sioux Falls in the double elimination tournament, Claremont played its way back to the championship game. Cutler says the local team had to beat Sioux Falls in the final round to have any championship hopes.
We run out of pitchers and everything else. They beat us 6-7 runs the second game. Anyway, at the conclusion of that tournament, they gave all the champions and the runners-up a little baseball autographed by Babe Ruth. Yeah, I can show you. And the night that we got that little baseball was the night Babe Ruth died.
Lyle Cutler keeps his autographed ball in a glass case, surrounded by newspaper articles from the tournament.
Didn't like that.
No.
Cutler and his longtime friend, Bill James, are in Lyle's dining room. They're sipping on coffee made by Joanne Cutler, Lyle's wife. There's a light rain falling, and it's windy, and the coffee provides a nice warm-up. So do the stories of the man who meant a good part of the world to these men and hundreds of others who wore Claremont green. Coach Bill Welsh.
He was a fairly big guy.
Yeah, he wasn't outstandingly big.
But 6 foot tall, but he probably weighed 220.
Yeah. Yeah, he had a good personality about him. He was the kind of a guy that got things done. You know, there's always them kind of guys around, ain't there?
Yeah.
No matter what he did, he tried to get her done right, I guess you'd say.
There's very little argument that that's what Coach Welsh did. He played on the same University of Illinois team as early football legend Red Grange. Some had said Welsh was the next galloping ghost, but Welsh suffered a serious injury in college, which ended his playing career. There was another wound that defined Bill Welsh's life, an internal wound that ultimately brought him to Northeast South Dakota. While living in Forest City, Iowa, his only son, Gene, whom the coach always called brother, died in an accident. He was 5 years old. The oldest Welsh daughter, Jane Welsh Edwards, knows firsthand how deeply the death affected her father.
Yes, definitely. It's always been my belief that that's what made him the coach. Although he was an excellent coach prior to that, but every boy that he coached after that was like a son. And he coached them like he'd want his son to be coached.
Many of the remaining members of those successful teams from Claremont gather at the Flame, a steakhouse in downtown Aberdeen. The years show, but a few of them look like they could still play some ball. One of the former Honkers, Marv Rasmussen, gave his working life to sports. He came out of Claremont, was a four-year starter in basketball at Northern State, and eventually ended up in the Northern Hall of Fame. Rasmussen is grateful for the years of instruction Welch shared.
I started out with Coach Welch when I was just a young guy. I was in a lot of trouble in grade school. And Coach Welch had a special spot for me up in his office. And after a period of time, he told me a lot of the right things. His discipline was a lot different. It was always challenging. It was never, you know, it was always just challenging to do something. It wasn't being this way. So I got to know Bill really well. And I think he took special interest in me because our family was really poor, and he really took a nice interest in what I did.
Mar Rasmussen went into teaching and coaching. He won a state basketball title at Alexandria High School in 1963. Rasmussen played football in Claremont at a time when the Honkers were one of the area's largest tourist attractions.
There were times when they'd have 2,000, 2,500 people, you know, and a dollar. I'm just thinking Bill Welch probably was making $1,000 a year coaching and teaching, and they'd have gates of $2,500. I mean, and he was scared to take the money home. He sent it five or six different ways, like Mark said in the book, you know.
Mark is Marv Rasmussen's son. He has written a book on Coach Welch and the Claremont teams, known as Six, after the six-man football played in Claremont and other very small towns. His childhood was full of stories told by his father of the days as a Honker athlete.
They were. Yeah, I was never sure how much was true, and then I researched it and realized that it was true.
Mark Rasmussen's research on Bill Welch revealed he was much more than a coach. He had a way of getting people to the games.
One of the big things was he was the ultimate P.T. Barnum. You know, he had found how to promote a sport, and I think it really paid off for him as he developed this winning team.
One of the final games of every season came on what was called Armistice Day back then. Every November 11th, Welch would line up a game against one of the top six-man teams in the area. The Honkers handled Montrose one year. Another year, they welcomed an excellent and very confident team from Hankinson, North Dakota to Claremont. Coach Welch's team won that one, too. In those days, one man usually did all the coaching for a school. Welch, of course, handled the basketball team at Claremont and had several successful teams through the years. Welch also enlisted community help in building a brand new gymnasium for the school. Claremont cheerleader Mary Lynn James, wife of former standout athlete Bill James, says the gymnasium was one of the finest in the region. Even if it did cost the Honkers the huge home court advantage of playing home games in the school cafeteria.
What the opposing teams did not know was that the Claremont players had a spot on the ceiling, and they marked it, and that's where they could shoot the ball, because it was a low ceiling, and bank the ball in, and they'd make a basket every time, and nobody could beat Claremont in the old gym, or the old lunchroom downstairs.
Another nod to the showmanship of Coach Welch was a tradition he established when the Honkers would come home from a win on the road. After the bus unloaded in Claremont, the coach would fire a rifle shot into the air, letting the town know of another Honkers win. It's another fond memory from daughter Jane Welch Edwards, especially the night things didn't go as planned during the celebration.
I was there. I was really lucky because I grew up during the Claremont years. And so I was a part of all of that. The night that he shot the rifle and it went through the electric wires and we didn't have any power in the school. Yeah, I was there that night.
If, as someone believed to be Winston Churchill once said, history is written by the victors, the lessons come to those who lose. Bill Welch only lost one football game at Claremont, a shutout against Hecla late in the 1953 season. That defeat ended the nation's longest winning streak at 61 games. Former Claremont player Owen Perkins, who left the area to sell insurance in Colorado, played in that game. He remembers the loss and a timeout the coach called very late in the fourth quarter.
We had about 30 seconds or so, and he called timeout. And in my mind, why are you doing this? We're losing. We're going to lose this game. But he called us all together and said, you guys, now we're losing this game. And we're going over and congratulate that team and act like real gentlemen. because that's what we are, and we can take the defeat.
All the short one get in front. The short one.
Outside the restaurant on a chilly Saturday night, the Claremont Honkers pose for a team photo. They've spent the past few hours sharing a meal and sharing stories of their days with Coach Welsh and the Claremont Honkers. Many of the boys ended up farming in the area. A few more went off to see the world. The Claremont District dissolved in 1969. A few students went to Langford, some more to Britton Hecla, and a few more area schools. Bill Welsh went to Montana and coached for a while. He retired in 1970 and died 10 years later. Welsh is buried near Forest City, Iowa. Next to his wife and his son, Gene, whom he referred to as brother, the one he lost years before. As Mark Rasmussen puts it in the final words of his book, brother had been alone in a strange place for a long time, and this final act fulfilled the vow Bill had made so many years earlier. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Gary Ellenbolt in Claremont.